Once again, we have not named this series. We're just going to be led of God, amen, in the end of what to call it. We might just call it Faith Is. We don't know. Faith Is, amen. And then you just put what you need behind it. Faith Is, amen. And then you grab the word. But today we're talking and we're going to finish up where we were last week on the voice of faith. And we believe God by faith.
By faith.
The two of us. That we're going to get to the vision of faith.
Amen.
You understand? So today we're talking about the voice and the vision of faith. We're bringing closure to where we were last week, and then we're going to try to jump into the vision of faith. Amen.
Amen.
If we get there, we get there. If we don't, hey, we'll be there next week. Amen.
Amen.
We're coming back. But Romans, in your Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where there is no word of God, there is no faith. You got to catch that. You got to catch this
yes,
morning.
Yes.
You see, we can't just be preaching about faith
yes.
and not walking in faith.
Yes. Yes.
Where there is no word of God, there is no faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're not dealing with this scripture this morning, but just write down 1 Samuel 3:1. It says, "There was no vision because there was no word in the land." Amen. Because there was no word, there was no vision. If there's no word, you won't have a vision and you won't have faith. But we're going to deal with the voice first. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 and verse 27. It says, "To him the usher or the porter opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." If he's not calling you, you may not be his sheep. We got to just set some things straight. You can come to church and still not be his sheep.
Wow.
And so if he's not calling you by name, you got to check the record and make sure you his. And sometimes you have to go back and do a redo and say, "Lord, I need to make sure I'm saved.
Sure.
I need to make sure,
sure
I didn't just hear about salvation, but I need to make sure that I'm saved
sure.
all over again." You
yes.
understand? It don't hurt
yes.
to do it again.
Yes.
It don't hurt to acknowledge, to believe, and
yes.
confess all over again. Why do you think we're teaching on evangelism on Wednesday nights?
Yes.
It ain't just for them out there. It's for some of them that's in here.
Wow. Wow. Maybe send us, separate us. Come on, huh? Send us, separate us from the presence of God.
Uh-huh.
So we got to make sure we're not walking around in unforgiving sin. Somebody say glory.
Glory. See, you got to deal with it. You see, we are a graceful church and we are a tolerant church.
Graceful.
But you got to understand that does not give you a legal permission to live in sin or to abide or be in sin. You see, we don't come after you and preach hell, damnation, fire, and all of that stuff. But God is there. He's writing the record.
Oh, yes, he
you
is.
See, I don't have a heaven or a hell, so you can shack up, sleep up, lay
Surely.
Up, you drug up, do whatever you want
Surely.
To. I'm going to still preach the word, and you got to deal with it where you are. God has the God has your record
Come
and my record. You understand? You can be in his house and not be his sheep.
Wow, that's deep, babe. Cause we gonna love you anyway.
I'm gonna love you.
Don't be shocked.
My assignment is to love you.
Wait, they shocked. You're loving them and they shocking up. Yes, because I have no heaven. We have no hell to put you in.
But if you shacking up, he ain't calling your name unless he's saying get out of sin.
Come on, that's the first one.
If you're drugging up, he ain't calling your name unless he's saying come out.
That's
come out from amongst them. The first conversation is to separate or call you
Ooh,
out from amongst them. He'll talk to you on that level, but he ain't talking to you about faith and vision until he can get you out of sin.
Come on. Somebody say, I'm coming out.
Oh.
Somebody say, I'm coming out.
Somebody better get right.
I'm coming out, Minister Al.
Let's finish reading
okay,
this scripture.
Finish reading the scripture, baby.
We ain't gonna
so
get
we
the
gotta
vision.
We gotta sit down and gotta take some notes this morning.
To him the usher opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. My. And he leads them out. He will lead you out of sin.
Yes, he will.
He led me out, so I know he will lead you out.
Me too. Deacon Elrod. Oh, a bunch of people.
Let me say it this way. He continuously lead me out.
Yes. Yes.
And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. He don't bring you out and then leave you out. When he brings you out, he leads you. And that's the thing about leadership. We get people in leadership and then they start following from the back. They call you out and then get behind you. But this word says, look at this. He called his sheep out by name and then he leads them. And when he puts them forth, his own sheep, he goes before them. That's why leadership is in the front of the church. That's why leadership is early to church. That's why leadership is prompt and on time. That's why leadership is in place, because it has to go before them. If you're in leadership and the people that don't know him come, they come before you.
Wow.
And then you come to the altar to pray for them afterwards.
Wow.
Waverly, I wish you would have just hit something over there on that. But look at this. He leads them and he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Yes. You don't have leadership without fellowship. And when leaders are not in place, there's nobody to follow.
Yeah.
You understand that the people following, they scatter because there are no leaders. He goes before them and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. People know your voice. They know when you're a real leader, and they know when you're perpetrating the fraud. They know when you about it, and they know when you're playing with it.
Amen. Amen.
For they know his voice. Somebody say they know his voice.
They know his voice.
They know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. That person talking that nonsense in your ear, you ain't got to do this, and you ain't got to do that, and it don't take all of this, and you need to... You need to lock them voices down, man, because they're trying to pull you off your assignment, pull you off your course, and then snatch you out of your prophetic destiny that God has for you.
Yeah.
Just got to read this. And the stranger they would not follow, but flee from him. Some things you got to run from. For they know not the voice of the strangers. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we make it to the vision of faith, the scripture we're jumping off of, 2 Corinthians 5:5, it says, for we walk by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. As you take your seat, give God a praise as we jump right in. Amen.
Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Picking up where we left off last week, we share it with you, and make sure you're taking notes that faith is null and void absent the word of God. Amen. There is no word, then there's no faith. But when the word of God is released, we have something, come on, y'all, that we can wrap our faith around. We reminded you that Isaiah 55:9, that's a critical scripture for you to jot down, because we're dealing with the voice of faith. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. Come on, somebody shout higher. Than your ways. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So when God speaks, we're not supposed to be able to comprehend his voice. If we can comprehend it, understand it, and do it in and of ourselves, somebody shout, it's not God. Because if he's speaking to us on the level that we're operating on, come on, it does not require faith for us to what? Attain what he has said, because we have the ability to do it in and of ourselves. Amen? So it doesn't surprise us when we're not able to comprehend it. When we trace the voice of faith, we did this last Sunday, we traced the voice of faith to the very beginning. Somebody write down Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. Amen? Somebody shout the beginning.
The
it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But look at the condition. Come on. The earth was without form and void, empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep.
That's right.
And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Verse 3. Then God said, which is the spoken word. Somebody shout, the voice of God. God said, let there be light. And guess what, saints? There was light. God saw the light and saw that it was good, and he divided, somebody shout divided, the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then we have what? Morning and evening become the first day. So first we're reminded that God speaks in the midst of formless, dark, Come on. Avoided situations. Whatever we can't see, whatever seems impossible to us with the naked eye, come on, the checkbook just don't add up. The resources just are not there. But God, you're saying what? Come on. Everything before us, come on, adds up or lines up against us because we don't see how we're going to do what this great God has spoken. But don't forget, when he speaks, he's not speaking on our level. He's speaking on a higher level. Am I right about it? So what we say last week, the darker the better.
Look at this.
Amen?
Look at this. God has already accomplished everything that he spoke.
Yes.
Now it's our turn to accomplish what we speak.
Yes.
Because he becomes the standard of the image of what your voice is supposed to be doing for you. And so everything God said, he saw. And then he looks in your life and say, what do you see?
Oh, that's good.
And what are you saying?
That's good.
God got results every time he spoke. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the same results every time you speak? Are you celebrating the dark, empty, void places by what you're saying about them? Or are you doing something to change them by what you see and by what you say? You see, God got his results, and then he turned around and put a dimension of him in us with the Holy Spirit and said, now you do what I did.
That's good.
Instead of saying, we messing this thing up by telling God to come and do again what he's already done. I'm going to say this to you emphatically, and you can like it or not like it. God is not coming to do anything in your life. Everything that is supposed to be done in your life has already been done, and now you got to say what he's already said about your life to see the same results that he sees concerning your life.
Come on. Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and
it's
the end. He's the first and the last. Come on.
When your mama gave that last push and the doctor pulled you out, cut the umbilical cord and spanked you or did whatever he needed to, suction you, whatever he needed to do to get a voice to come out of you.
Come on. It was already finished. Somebody out shout.
He programmed you and activated you.
Was already done. Come on. Come on. Somebody say, I'm at the end.
I'm at the end.
When I just began. It's over. Hallelujah. The more impossible it is, wrap that thing around. Come on. Wrap your faith around what God last spoke to you because we have ongoing faith projects.
Ongoing.
Ongoing. So I'm just asking you to find one of the million that he spoke to you. The more impossible it is for you to accomplish it, for me to accomplish, the greater chances that God will get all the credit and all the glory when it's manifestation time. When it finally come forth. When once it's finally birthed, Elder Rashida, the more impossible it was for me to do it, the greater the chances that God's going to get all the credit and all the glory. Write down Isaiah 42:8 because Isaiah the prophet says this of God. He says, God shares his glory with no man. Why is it so dark? Why is it so gloomy? Why in the world is this health challenge? My God, so impossible in the sight of man because God says, I want to get the glory. And once I perform what I said I'm going to perform, come on, once I heal your body the way I said I'm going to heal your body, once I cancel your debt the way I said I was going to cancel your debt, you will not be able to say, I knew I could do it. You're going to sit back and you're going to look at this manifestation and you're going to say, my God, only God in the midst of that dark and void and empty situation could have done this. God said, I ain't sharing my glory with nobody. If you can do it by yourself, I'm going to wait until the situation gets a little darker. A little emptier. Come on. Because once I do what I said to you I'm going to do, only I will receive the glory. Somebody ought to give God praise for why you're in the midst of what you're in the midst of. Because God's trying to remove yourself. Because he ain't sharing his glory, somebody say, with no man. And secondly, last Sunday we talked about that there's a great potential in the midst of a dark or impossible situation when the Spirit of God is found hovering over it. Go ahead, babe. When we find the Spirit hovering over it.
Anytime the Spirit hovers over a situation or a room, things change. on the day of Pentecost, there was the sound of a great and mighty rushing wind that came into a locked room because the boys was locked up in the room waiting for something to happen. But when the Spirit of the Lord began to hover over the room, he began to change things in their life. They began to receive this power that he had been talking about to them because of this hovering. It's the hovering of the Lord that's over your life that brings about the change that you're looking for. You got to understand, in Genesis, we talked about the hovering, and we equated that last week to the hovering being a sound. And so Torah hit C8 keys and produced a sound that was symbolic of the hovering. But the hovering is more than just a sound.
Yeah.
The hovering is greater than just a sound, because you can hear something and still not be moved.
Ooh.
You can hear something and it still not work in your life. You understand where I am with that? Is you can hear the same sound and not dance to the same beat.
Yes.
It ain't just the sound that he's after when he come into your life. We talked about the hovering as a sound, but the hovering is also a covering. In my marriage with Pastor Vicky, I hover over her. I'm not superior to her. I'm not abusive. I'm not dominant, but I hover over her because I'm the covering for her life.
You better say
I provide that covering. God hovers over us with his word. His word becomes the covering over the situation that you're in. And as long as his word is walking around the situation.
Yes.
As long as his word has opportunity to get into the situation, you already got the victory because the word has already been settled. The word has already been established. So the word has to get in the midst of what you're dealing with, and the word has to become your covering. If you're dealing with your situation without the covering of the word, What does the word say about this thing? I got cancer in my body. That's what the doctor said, but that's not the last word. I got another word hovering in my spirit. The word that I hear is, by his stripes I'm already healed. The words that I hear is, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity, and by his stripes
I am
healed. You got to understand, there has to be a word hovering.
Jesus.
There has to be a word hovering over your situation, because if there's no word, there'll be no faith.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
And where there is no faith, my people perish.
Yes, yes. Yes.
You got to see this thing, the covering. That's why you have to bring God into every situation, and you have to have a preceding word for whatever it is that you're going through.
Yes.
In your marriage, if the word is not hovering.
Wow.
If there's no word hovering over your marriage, you won't stay married very long.
Come on.
You got your ways, she got her ways, and then ain't none of y'all looking at his ways. And his ways, according to your scripture, is not like
our my ways. Yes.
And so now if we deal with each other based on our ways, we're going to hurt one another.
Yes.
But if we deal with each other based on his ways, and his word says, what I have joined together.
Yes.
What I put together, let no man put asunder.
Yes.
How can two walk together except they be in agreement? Baby, we ain't in agreement right now on this thing.
Yes.
So we're going to put it down because this thing is trying to mess with our marriage.
I love it.
And it ain't big enough to frustrate what God has said about us.
Wow.
All of the married people ought to take a minute and shout
praise
right there.
Praise God.
That's why, baby, we got to guard our speech. We got to guard our speech. We said it last week. We can't say it enough. You got to guard your speech.
Yes.
You understand? You can cancel everything God has said by one word out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your word is not wrapped up in his word, you might be the problem in your own situation.
Right.
Oh, my.
Might be me.
What happens when I'm the problem? Not the devil, but what happens when I'm the problem in my situation?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know when you're the problem? When you know the word but fail to apply the word.
Yeah.
When you know the word and fail to apply the word, then you take on ownership of that problem.
Sure.
And you say, God, I don't need you because I'm big enough and bad enough to get out of this all by myself.
Huh?
And that's when you start using your words.
Yeah.
You ain't no good. You're just like your daddy. You ain't this. You're going to grow up and be just like this. I ain't never liked you. I can't stand you. I hate your mama and your daddy.
I'm broke. I'm sick.
I'm broke. I'm
tired.
Sick. I'm busted.
Yeah,
I'm disgusted.
You know why you're tired? Because you keep saying I'm sick and tired. You know why you're sick? Because you keep saying I'm sick and tired. Stop being sick and tired. Come on. And start experiencing the joy of that situation or that circumstance. Because James says, consider all of your trials and tribulations a joy because they bring about patience, and patience promotes faith. You wait long enough on a thing, I dare I tell you, you're going to believe if it's the last thing you do, if you got to wait 6 months for the manifestation to take place. Oh, faith is going to come one way or another.
Hey, I'll be like Otis Redding, sitting on the dock of the bay, waiting for my chance to come. I'm waiting for this tide to roll in. I ain't going nowhere.
Come on.
Until this thing happens.
Yes,
look at somebody and tell them, you got to guard your speech.
You got to guard your speech. Amen.
You got to guard your speech. Look at this. Look at this.
Amen.
We got to move.
Yes.
Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life, they're in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
It's right there in your word. Write that scripture down, because we know that scripture, but we don't apply that scripture. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Some things are dying around you because of what you're saying about those things.
Wow.
Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keepeth his mouth. Oh, Jesus, that's the... Man, if I could just get that scripture right, I might not need nothing else in the book. Yeah, and I'm not the only one like that, am I? Does anybody else need that word I just gave? He that keepeth his mouth. Most of us, the problem we got is because we couldn't keep our mouth.
Couldn't keep our mouth. Somebody lay hands on your lips.
Somebody just touch your lips. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody. We write gospel songs about it, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Well, we get this mouth thing right.
We're going to deal with it.
He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. He that keeps his mouth, you need to know that scripture, memorize it. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life.
Read the rest of that, baby.
But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction.
Big mouth. That's the big mouth. Y'all didn't know the big mouth was in the Bible, did you? Always talking, mouth wide open. Always got something to say about the matter or the situation. Well, I think.
Gotta
Who cares that. What you think? We That's the big mouth, right in the word.
Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keeps his life. You got to learn how to be quiet on some things. You got to learn how to be quiet on some things. If he's acting a fool, you be quiet.
Well,
if she's acting a fool, you be quiet.
Well,
it's hard to fight with yourself.
Yeah.
I just gave you some revelation right there. It's hard to fight with yourself. You going to let them get it all out. At least they getting that negative energy out there. You be the covering for what they are saying when they finish. You just come back with the word of God. The word of God says peace shall reign in this house. Peace shall be the example that we'll set in the land. Mm. Baby, I hope that brought you peace with what you got out. Mm. And so I'll walk with you in peace. But some of us got that mouth problem where I ain't going to let you get the last word. Mm-hmm. And you done hit me below the belt. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm going to hit you below the belt. You say something bad about me, I'm going to say something bad about you. And then now you're walking around the house all next week trying to figure out how to make things right.
Yes.
If you could have kept your mouth, you could have kept your house.
Come on. Teenagers and parents, stand to your feet. Because we're dealing with husband and wives, but you know, we got the same revelation on a teenager and his or her parent relationship. Teenagers and parents, stand to your feet. If you're a teenager, if you're the parent of a child, please stand to your feet. Do you know there will be so much more peace in the house? Come on, parents, let me say this. We're not the only one who have an off day. If the child come home and got something that he or she need to release or express, can we keep our big mouth shut and give them a chance to release and vent? Come on, because if we don't allow them the opportunity to vent to us, I dare to say they will go find somebody that will listen to them so they can vent to them. Somebody as a parent ought to raise their hand. Teenage, that was your chance to shout. But I just gave you an open door to come home and express yourself. Amen. And vice versa, when your parents are talking and ministering and teaching you, be quiet. You know, listen and hear what they have to say, because 9 times out of 10, they're speaking the voice of God and is there to edify and build you up. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. That was a quick commercial break. Hallelujah. Because I have a heart for the teenagers. It's too much drama in the house, because everybody's fighting and trying to get in that last word, and the peace of God that's supposed to rest, rule, and abide in the homes has uprooted and left. Because there's more chaos and confusion, some might say, because of this mouth. Amen. Deadly weapon.
Deadly weapon. Many of you don't realize that you are one word away from your breakthrough. Many of you, even sitting under my voice, don't realize you're just one word away from your breakthrough. Some situations have been hovering around in your life, messing with you over and over, like the gnats or the flies when you're cutting your grass.
Wow.
Just coming in and out in waves and messing with you, just with a frustration, because
yes,
they're not frustrating you to make you quit,
yes,
but they're frustrating you to provoke you to,
yes,
say something.
Hovering.
Many of you are one word away from your breakthrough,
yes,
and when you say what it is that you need to say,
oh,
you will get the open heaven blessing that God got when he said what he needed to say in
Jesus.
Dark and in dire situations.
Wow.
Some of you have gotten so frustrated that you have shut your mouth. And I'm not talking about talk to the person, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I'm not talking about talk to the thing, for we wrestle not against that kind of stuff. But you're one word away from rehearsing back to God what he has already said and put in you about you to get your breakthrough.
Wow.
When you can release that one word, you can release that situation out of your life.
Wow.
Some of you just got to get your voice back and begin to say what God has already,
yes,
said about your situation.
Wow.
You can get rid of these nagging frustrations that keep coming around perpetually messing with you in your life if,
wow,
you would just open your mouth and say something.
Say something.
Just say something.
Say
somebody got to find a word,
yes,
that will usher in peace into your life,
yes,
and situation, and stop echoing the voice of frustration,
yes,
and now release the voice,
wow,
of God over that situation,
yes,
and you got to just,
yes,
find that place of peace in your spirit and get that one word.
Yes.
When Satan kept messing with Jesus, Jesus had to find a word that was written in Deuteronomy,
yes,
and he had to look at him and say, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
The Bible says when he said what had to be said, mm-hmm, Satan left him. You,
yes,
got to understand, when there was a man, there was a centurion,
yes,
that had a servant,
yes,
that had a problem.
Yes. Yes.
He says, I don't need your presence in my house. I just need you to say one word to my house. My servant is sick and I need him to be healed. But if you just say the word, if you say he's healed, my servant will be healed.
Come
Jesus,
on.
I don't need you to come back to the earth realm right now.
Yes.
I just need to,
yes,
say the word that you've already said concerning my life.
Wow.
Look at somebody and say, you just got to say the word.
You
some of you looking for him when he's giving you the word.
Yes.
The word is your breakthrough. You overcome him by the word.
Yes, sir.
And not just hearing the word, but the in testimony,
yes,
saying,
yes,
the word.
Yes. Yes.
You one word. You,
yes,
one word.
Yes.
Many of you in this room, mm-hmm, are one word away
one
from
word.
A brand new reality.
Yes.
Many of you don't miss this. You are one word away from a brand new reality in your life.
Yes.
But don't nobody else in this room know what that word is,
yes,
but you.
Wow.
Nobody in this room know that word but you. And the problem is, if you have lost that word, you have lost your way.
Wow. Wow. Rediscover the word. Wow. Let me jump to Genesis 1 verse 3, because that was the hovering piece. Believe it or not, that was a refresher course. Now, this is where we're picking up at, and we're going to go a little further. So after you deal with that hovering, verse 3, what Pastor Charlie just said is you have to find that word. Well, let's just go back and model the Father in the beginning of Genesis 1 and 3. It says, then God said, God's saying something. What did he say? Let there be light. So if we want to operate as God operated, come on, we need to look at the dark and the void situation and just say, let there be. He said, let there be light. And guess what occurred? There was light. God saw the light. It was good. And then he divided light from darkness. When God starts speaking, jot this down. He's creating and he's separating.
All right.
Oh, yes, he is.
All right.
He says, let there be light. That's equivalent to his creating. The light was good, but then he says, let me separate light from darkness. So whenever God creates something, come on, y'all, brand spanking new in you, you better be prepared for the creating and separating processes in your life.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We want creation and separation to stay together in the same situation
and
in the same room.
Light and darkness can never dwell together.
We want to keep the old and the new and let them operate together in the same arena of our life. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid to let somebody go. But you got to get like, who was that boy? Teddy Pendergrass.
Come on.
I think
come
I better
on.
Let it go.
Come on. And you know what? Light is symbolic, biblically symbolic of revelation. Somebody say like Madea, revelation. So when we start talking about let there be light, God is saying, my God, let the light come on so my people can catch revelation of what it is, come on, y'all, that I'm trying to do, where it is I'm trying to take you, the people that I'm trying to connect you to. Let the light come on in the midst of my darkness.
Hold on. I hear something in the New Testament. You are the light of the world.
Yes, sir.
So now, when you come into a room, into a region, into an arena, I don't care how dark it is, you are the light.
You the light.
If it's still dark when you get there,
something
you got
right.
to check yourself, not the situation.
Something ain't right.
If something you are right. the light of the world, I don't care how dark it is, if you let
yes.
me in.
Yes, yes.
If I can get into the situation of the room, I guarantee you we can lighten this thing up.
Yes, yes.
Deal with Man, it. But we want to be light and we want to fellowship with darkness. And so now, that's why they don't like you to come to the nightclubs. If you really got the light in you and you go into the nightclub, you turn the lights on in that mother.
Yeah, without even hitting the switch. Without even, the room stay dark, but that something just happened.
And you know the lights don't normally come on until the party is over. And you turning the lights on too quick
come
up
on.
In here.
Somebody got to go.
But if you get in there and it's still dark and you doing what they doing.
Oh, my God. Then you have not been transformed, come on, but you have conformed to the ways of the world.
Are we going to get to the vision?
This might just be the voice of faith part two. I don't know. We're going to keep going.
Let's go.
So when you look at God creating something fresh and new, how many of you ready for that? I'm for real. How many of you ready for God to create something fresh and new in your life? All right. Well, then prepare for certain people, certain places, and certain things. Isn't that a noun? People, places, or thing? Prepare for certain people, places, and things to be separated from you and from us. Amen? He created light, but guess what? The darkness was already there.
Right.
Think about it. The earth was void, null, empty, dark. Darkness was already there. He created light in the midst of darkness, okay? So if he wanted us to stay where we were in darkness, come on, he would not have released his spoken word and said, let there be light. Amen. So that means the situation wasn't the way God wanted it to be.
If he wanted us to stay in sin.
He would not have sent his son to bring light to an unforgiven generation.
Oh boy, the church got quiet.
Come on.
Oh boy, the church went silent.
Wherever there's darkness.
If he wanted you to live in sin, he would have left you like that because you were already walking
yes.
in darkness and
yes.
didn't know the way and didn't know the word. But when he introduced the light of his word
yes.
into our lives, when he introduced the light of his son, who is the light of the
yes.
world into us, there was supposed to be a change that took place in our lives. And the light was supposed mm-hmm. to overpower darkness so that we wouldn't live the way we had been living before time.
Right.
You got to understand, this was the light separating darkness in our lives. And so when Jesus came into my life, he became the illumination. He became the glory. He became the candle. He became the light. But then he brought something with him, the Holy Ghost, who became the new air that I breathe, the new breath in me. He became the new words that I speak. And so now my life changed because I was changed, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. On the outside, I may look the same, but man, on the inside, there's a whole different reality going on in me.
Yes.
And when the light comes into your life, if you're still the same, you don't have the right light. You might have a Bud Light or a Miller Light or a High Light, but you don't have the light of Christ operating in your life. You got a light, but it ain't His light.
Wow, not the right light.
Might be one of them black lights.
Might be. So you know those gossiping people that was in your life? You know those backbiters? Come on. You know those doubting Thomases that every time you say something, oh, how you going to do this and how you going to do that? Come on. You know those unhealthy and stressful and addicting environments and circumstances? When God's ready to do something brand spanking new in your life, he's going to separate you from that. He's going to separate us from that. Come on. Come on. Will you stop feeling guilty that you can't eat in the lounge with everybody else when God is working on you and trying to do something new? Come on. You're not supposed to go back to the lounge. Come on. Until he's done hovering over you. Until he's done revealing to you. Until he's done manifesting in you. Then and only then, Monique, can I walk back into that dark lounge where the gossiping, the doubting, and the talking about people in authority is taking place.
Because then my light will shine.
Come on. Dark and dark equal dark.
Can't get light out of that.
And you can't get light out of that, babe.
You got to understand something, that when we deal with the light of God, we can't be so happy about church that we miss the fact that we let sin dwell around us. You can't be so comfortable in your living that you're afraid to deal with sin.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be a holy roller, but if you need to be. You accept everything else. When are they going to accept you for who you are?
I know that's right.
I got a problem with the only people that need to change is the people in the church. Oh, every time the people in the church say something, it's got to be holier than thou. I'm never saying you're better than anybody. I'm never saying you're greater than anybody. But I'm never saying that with Christ in your life, you're to tolerate anybody. For he says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got the influence. You got the position. You got the upper hand, but the question is, what are you doing with it?
Come on.
Why would he give you the upper hand and allow you to have to submit to everybody else in their way of doing things?
Not so. Do we have any holy rollers in the house?
Anybody in here that's ready to reverse the curse?
I'm rolling with the Holy Ghost.
I'm sick and tired of the church. Got to take the back seat and everybody else can talk, but we got to be passive, because when the church says something, that's just them being hypocritical and holier than thou. Well, hell, here come the hypocrites. And we got something to say about this situation.
Okay.
We got something to speak into this situation. Stop being scared of your anointing.
Come on now. Come on.
You scared of your own anointing, and you scared of people walking out of your life. But when I read my Bible in John chapter 6, verse number 66, where you get the number 666, people walked away from Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the word Antichrist. And if they left Jesus, they are going to leave you. So get over it.
Yes.
If him, they're going to leave you. But you're scared of people leaving you. Jesus wasn't scared of nobody leaving him. He said, I lost none, because you make the choice whether you want to come with me or leave me.
Yes. What is that? You can talk about me all you please.
Let's go.
Talk 15. About you down on my knees. Come on, y'all. You know they're talking
connection,
about us.
Connection between
That's
your mouth.
That's my word right there.
Connection between your mouth and your heart.
Yes.
There's a connection between your mouth and your heart. You create your visual reality by speaking out of your mouth what you already see in your heart.
Yes, sir.
I need to say that to you again. You create your visual reality by speaking out of your mouth what you already see in your heart. Whatever is in your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. regardless of how many times you say, I'm sorry. Whatever is in your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. Your heart is governing your tongue, and whatever you're saying out of your mouth is what you're really feeling in your heart, regardless of how many times you tell somebody, I really didn't mean it.
Wow.
You meant it.
Because you said it.
You said it. You meant it.
Amen.
Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings forth good things out of his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a connection between your mouth and your heart.
Yeah.
Whatever is coming out of your mouth is in your heart. And if dark things are coming out of your mouth, you still have a dark heart. Mm-hmm. But the word of God says he will create in me a clean heart. And he'll renew a right spirit that's in me. You understand? You got to get a clean heart. The Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitfully wicked. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God knows the heart, and that's why he deals with you in your heart, not just in your head. And so he speaks to your heart, and so you got to start confessing some things and start getting your mouth retrained to say what God is saying about your life. You got to get your confession back. You see what we just confessed this morning? People are standing in line to get into this church to hear the word of God. If you turn around and don't see nobody, you say it's a lie, but we're calling those things to be not as though they were. You're waiting to see it. We already saw it. You see what I'm saying? And so we can say this confession statement with no hindrance. You can look around and say, I see some empty seats. And he's saying people are standing in line, but you can't fight my confession because I'm not looking at what you're looking at. I have a different visual reality than what you have concerning the same situation. Look at somebody and say, you got to get your confession right. What are you confessing about your life, your ministry, your marriage, your finances, your children, your health? What are you confessing? You got to say back what the word is saying. Then when you get your confession right, you got to get in your anointing and you got to act like a king and you got to make some declarations.
All right.
You see, confession is just you saying it. Declaring it is you meaning it and standing on it.
Yes.
I'm standing on this thing regardless of what it looks like. Job says, though you slay me, yet I can put a period right there. It don't matter, come hell or high water, yet.
Come on now. We can pray, baby, one or two times, but after we finish praying, we need to shift to decreeing.
Got to decree some things.
We're asking God, but when God says, okay, I did it, we're not going to ask you again. We're going to decree, Elder Rashida, that it's already done. Is that making sense, y'all? So we got to shift in the kingdom from praying day after day. We got the week, month after month, from praying to decreeing that it's already done. Amen?
Already done. Every word that you declare is pregnant with possibilities. Every word that you declare is pregnant with possibilities.
Declare.
All you got to do is just keep saying something.
Wow.
You don't realize you're giving birth. Every word that you declare is pregnant with possibilities.
Yes,
somebody got to catch this in your spirit.
Jesus,
every word, Bruce, that
every
you declare
word.
Is pregnant with possibilities.
Yes.
When you declare a thing, God says, oh man, look at this. Job, I am come for your words. Every word that you speak, he says, I am come for your words. You declare a thing and I'll cause light to shine upon it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody got a declaration. Somebody just need to stand on your feet in that dark situation and you just need to open your mouth in this room.
Jesus.
Let me say this. This is the maternity room. This is the room of delivery. This is the birthing place. This room is pregnant with possibilities, and you can give birth right now by opening up your mouth and just pushing that thing forward. If you don't say nothing, you can't birth nothing. If you don't say anything, you won't see anything. But if you open your mouth, you can birth your reality right now. Right here, right now.
Jesus.
You can birth your reality.
Yes, sir.
You can birth your reality right now.
Right now.
Right now. You can birth your reality. You can give birth to that thing that's in your spirit. You can give birth to that thing that you've been carrying. You can give birth to that thing you've been holding. you can deliver right now. We won't deal with the vision. We won't deal with the vision. You can give birth.
Yes.
There are many around this room. You have birthing anointing on you.
Jesus.
You got to come forth and deliver. Come forth and push. This is your moment. You are fully dilated now.
There's a sound.
You are fully dilated now.
Jesus, we release your faith.
In the spirit, you're open. You're open with possibilities.
Unlimited, unlimited possibilities.
This is your day of delivery. This is the birthing zone.
Jesus.
This is your hour to push through the pain. Push through the hurt.
Jesus.
Push through the trauma. Push through the loss of hope. For you are about to give birth to a miracle. You are about to deliver. You're about to deliver something that the whole world needs.
Every step that you take, I hear the Spirit of God saying that you're stepping out of darkness and you're entering into my marvelous light. And that as you walk, I will reveal. I just hear him saying that. As you walk, I will reveal in this atmosphere. In this atmosphere of faith, I hear God say, as you walk, I will reveal.
Every step you tread.
And I will cause you.
I'm giving you new ground.
To give birth.
And new territory.
He says we've been standing still and stagnant too long. But when the hovering takes place, there's a movement that has to occur in the atmosphere and in the spirit realm.
Somebody
got
to move.
Said, we've got to stir up the waves that's been still for too long. We've got to begin to move out on our frustration and our anticipation. We got to get serious about this faith realm. We got to enter and exit in and out of this supernatural faith realm. And this faith is being released in this house right now. I hear God saying that I'm hovering over this room.
Somebody's baby is coming forth.
I'm stirring up what I desire to move and manifest in your life.
As you begin to walk,
will you jump in to
accelerate your delivery?
Will you ride the wave
as you begin to walk
to carry you where I desire
to go? Healing is coming upon you. As you begin to walk, peace is coming into your life. As you begin to move in the spirit.
As
you begin to travel in the spirit. New realities are being birthed.
There's faith in this room right now.
Women of God, you remember when you were pregnant? You were almost there.
Close your eyes.
The doctor said, I just need you to walk. Go in the hallways and walk. When you begin to walk, things begin to open up for you.
Close your eyes and remove yourself from your natural surroundings.